What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Andrea, you look stunning today.
Oh, thank you.
I know we've seen this shirt before.
Yes.
Because there was a long conversation if it was goats or cats, and it turned out to be foxes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But no, you're looking great. It's a great shirt. It's a great look. How you doing?
I'm doing really excellent.
Yeah?
Had a nice, busy weekend of seeing friends and best friends at the event on Sunday. Wow, what a turnout at the World Tour.
Yeah, Kind of Funny World Tour stop here in San Francisco. I thought it might be the smallest one we've had because I was like, San Francisco sees us all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not news. Like, Arizona was so huge and been crazy. San Francisco was also huge and crazy.
A surprising amount of people who drove in from out of the
Bay.
All
over the place. Yeah. Thank you as always. Thank you for your support. What have you been playing?
I'm trying to finish Metro Exodus.
Ah.
So I finally made it to summer, which I believe is the final season.
Gotcha.
So it's going good.
Yeah? Still enjoying it?
Yeah, I dropped it down to easy.
Sure. Yeah, you've done that even when you're on GamesCast. Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm tired of having not any bullets anymore. I want more bullets.
I got to do something here to fight people. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Last night, of course, I played Tetris 99 for a whole bunch. Then I had to watch a Fast and Furious movie. And then I figured, you know what? I need a good palate cleanser after. I need a good palate cleanser after Tetris 99. And what I did is I put on Tetris Effect.
Because
I wanted to see
the music in that game.
I wanted to see Tetris Effect didn't break me, but I was like, oh man, I am not in Tetris shape, right? And I didn't have time when it came out to get in Tetris shape. I was like, how sharp are my skills right now? Am I almost back to where I should be in terms of Greg Miller and Tetris? And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fucking good at Tetris. I still haven't won a Tetris 99. I'm always very forthcoming about that. I have a feeling it'll be my albatross the rest of my career. Kevin, have you won yet?
I have not.
Did you see this pencil neck Andrew Goldfarb from IGN won? He sucks at everything. It's not a Persona game. How's he doing it?
I got a buddy that's like, on the first day, he played 36 games and had 6 wins.
Oh, yeah, Michael, who was talking shit to me on Twitter. Yeah, I saw him. I see his numbers.
Fuck him.
Then another fucking twerp from IGN, this Michael kid. Then he had the nerve to say, read my IGN guide. His IGN guide literally was like, use T-spins. Fuck you! We know to use T-spins, all right?
I didn't know that.
What's a T-spin?
Really?
No, I did. I'm just kidding.
It's where you take the little T, the little purple, any color T, right? You know, the 4 blocks that make a T, and then you leave holes along the side for them. Rather than most people will think just leave a column.
Mm-hmm.
To drop long pieces in, you can use it. You can leave T spaces,
and you can
spin them in kind of like a gear because you know how Tetris kind of plays with physics and stuff, and you can spin them down and do that over and over again.
Yeah, but that requires a certain level of dexterity that I don't think I have.
See, it requires like relearning, and that's my thing. Is like I'm not going to do that. I'm
going
to stick to the tried and true. Leave a single space, and then maybe I can put the L's in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it is. And again, I'm getting to 3 consistently. It's just I'm getting my spirits broken at 3. I digress. This is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Today we're going to be talking about Google making its big move at GDC, PUBG crossing over with Resident Evil 2, and rest in peace, God damn it, the PlayStation Vita.
No!
I know, it's finally happening, Kev. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. There, bronze tier members can come on in, ask us questions, submit their bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Silver members get the show ad-free as a video and an MP3. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch the show in a number of ways. How? You can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record it. If you are watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Then we use your corrections to set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Huge news. Today begins our official syndication on roosterteeth.com.
Woo!
You can go to
congrats,
roosterteeth.com right now, and right under channels is Kind of Funny. You can click on that and you can watch our content
there.
Dude,
that's huge.
It is huge.
So my first question when I hear this news is, what took so long?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think it was... That's real good, Andrew. I wasn't expecting that question. I think it was a lot of things, right? We've been working with Rooster Teeth forever. So at the top, I know that for a lot of Kind of Funny best friends, they worry about the Rooster Teeth stuff. Nothing is changing. Rooster Teeth does not own Kinda Funny. Kinda Funny is still independently owned and operated. But what took so long, I think, was us getting up to speed on our own production pipeline, figuring out how to get our stuff up, how to make the shows better, doing what we want to do, and then actually having a conversation with them about, well, what would it look like to come to roosterteeth.com? And for me, it's a conversation that is very much like, or very much what we learned at IGN. Because I remember working at IGN when, hey, YouTube's a thing. We should put our videos on YouTube. And everybody's like, fuck no.
Dude, I remember that vividly.
No, we're IGN.com. I want them to come to the .com. I don't want them to catch somewhere else. And over the years, obviously, that's not how it is now, right? Like, IGN is everywhere. And it became the idea that you can't exist in one spot and expect people to come to you. You have to go to where the people are and make those moves that way. And so, yeah, for us, it was a thing of, well, obviously, we've worked with Rooster Teeth for years and years and years now. And they, you know, if you didn't know, they're our MCN, they sell our ads, they handle our merch and stuff like that. It was a thing of, well, yeah, they have a giant VOD platform. Like, maybe we should be on that, right? Because if we haven't if there's a best friend out there watching on Rooster Teeth, or that's a Rooster Teeth fan that hasn't already come over to find us on YouTube or on a podcast service, why not go to them? Why not increase the reach there and find more best friends that way?
Absolutely.
And so,
well,
that's
congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to see. I was looking at the subreddit before we went on here. Of course, we never get to announce anything to you guys. You figure it out long before we get the chance to do it. The Verve thing this weekend broke. But Lethal Arrow in there points out something I never would have thought of. And he says, holy crap, it's true. Finally, YouTube is blocked at work, but Rooster Teeth isn't. And then he goes, I wonder if the episodes will go up the same time as they do on YouTube. For this show, it does, right, Kev? That's where I just jumped out. We had a meeting about this yesterday. Tim explained a whole bunch of stuff.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Same day, though.
Yeah,
right?
Same day. Yeah. There might be an hour or two difference because of their CMS and how things have to process and upload on their end. But
propagating. That's the
word. Doesn't get in the way of our uploads on our YouTube, on our MP3s, all the same stuff there. But if you want to consume it just through roosterteeth.com, it is up there and it will be up there. So if you're new and you're watching on roosterteeth.com.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Let me just say, Jeff Ramsey sucks. Friday afternoon, I'm going to be streaming Anthem here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Who will be freelancing with me?
Me. I invited myself.
Kevin's into... Kevin, it's not a one-up...
Kevin, there are four spots on the team.
Look at the video that I... Because she said it, and then I went like this to you. You're playing with us. Kevin, don't cry.
Kevin, I am only playing with Greg because you said you were going to play.
Yeah, that's right. There it is. There
obviously.
Really?
Yes, of course. Someone's got to carry this team.
That's true. That is very true. That's accurate. You can catch us streaming Anthem, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames Friday after the Kind of Funny screencast hosted by Big Kev Dog. Today, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed, and Blackjack. Of course, you can go to Kind of Funny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, sign up, be part of the show like they did. And then today we're brought to you by Robinhood and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Google's set to blow our minds with a keynote at GDC. I opened my email today and had an invite from Google.com that read, 3/19/19, 10 a.m., gather around. All will be revealed at the Google keynote, 10 a.m., March 19th, 2019. Find us at the Moscone Center, South San Francisco. That, of course, GDC. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
It's finally happening.
I mean, it's about time.
What is it going to be? Lay it on me.
They're going to have their own box, is what
I'm
guessing.
You think it's going to be the box?
Okay. I do. No, I think it's going to be a streaming service that is centered around a small device. I don't think it'll be like an Xbox One or a PS4. Nothing that intense. Nothing that reads discs, right? Because Google's whole thing is in the cloud, right? And I think that they have to have some kind of physical item to go with it in order to really market it at retail. Because I think it's still too early to market something exclusively digital when it comes to selling games.
See, my thing with it is that based on what
I
they
think
did,
it'll be like a Chromecast type of thing that you just like plug into your TV.
Could it just be Chromecast?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like a different version of Chromecast?
Yeah, like the updated new
version.
Like
Chromecast games or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Kevin. What are you saying? What are you saying?
She won me over at the end with the Chromecast.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because I thought she meant like a box.
No. I mean, something small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That even if you don't have You don't have an Xbox. You don't have a smart TV. How would you get the games on there, right?
Kind of right, thing. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I envision this as what the Ouya was originally supposed to be, but Google actually taking it to the level that it needs to be to succeed, and obviously not limiting it in the way that the Ouya was.
I am so fascinated. You know how much I love the idea of a streaming future, and how blown away I was with Odyssey on the crappy notebooks we had here that were streaming from the Google thing.
Right.
My concern about the keynote, and not even concern, I guess, but as I try to hamper my own expectations, I imagine what it's going to be is not, hey, here's what the product is, here's how it works, here's what... I think it's got to be... It's at GDC, so it's for game developers, right? It's got to be more like, hey, here's what we're building. You saw it work with Odyssey. Here's the systems we're working and how... Like, do you think it's going to be a full-blown, like it's going to be out in 3 months, end of the year kind of thing? Or like, is that what we're getting on the 19th?
I feel like it could be out even sooner.
Yeah,
you think because they've been working in secret on this for quite some time, for a couple of years at least. Totally. Now I feel like the conversations are really coming to a head. There's more people kind of openly talking about working with Google and their development. Not like when I say openly, I don't mean like on the record, but sure. I mean not in like secret room somewhere.
Sure.
So I think it's becoming a little bit more acceptable.
How many people have we off the record seen from all sorts of developers, companies poached that we know have gone to Google and they're not talking about what they're doing at Google, but you're like, all right, I can imagine what you're doing.
They're walking around there with Google business cards, not trying to hide it anymore.
I know exactly who you're talking about too. I'm like, what are you doing? And he or she's like, I won't tell you. I'm like, God damn it.
I think that they're going to come with some key partners. I think they're going to have some game announcements, and I think that they're going to have a release date that is sooner than we think.
Do you think, could it be like, is it going to be like a month? I want to believe so bad. I'm Fox Mulder with the I want to believe, but it's not a spaceship. It's just some kind of streaming device. It's a browser window playing Assassin's Creed. I want to believe we're there and that they are going to be like, here you go. Everything cross between your phone, your browser, your whatever dongle we're plugging in. Mm-hmm. Are we there yet, Andrea?
I mean, I think the thing to remember is even if they announce on stage at their press conference at GDC, it's out today.
Yeah.
It's going to take several months for them to optimize. And we have to do is look at the Epic Game Store in order to see that, right? And we talked about how when that announcement happened that we thought that they were really going to blow up and take over. And we're seeing them make some really strategic moves right now. But as the community reminds us so often, the Epic Game Store is missing a ton of feature sets that Steam already has. Just like whatever Google announces is going to probably be missing a ton of feature sets that Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus already have, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to take some time before people are ready to migrate over into a new ecosystem. But I think it's going to be very exciting for the consumers that want to be on the cutting edge of technology.
100%. I mean, like, you're right that this is not, what we see is not what we're going to have in 6 months and a year, right? And for me, I always think of Chromecast. Where when I got the first gen Chromecast, like $35, I'll take a shot.
Yeah.
Got it. And I was so disappointed and I never really used it again. And
until
now
you discovered actually how to use it and it blew your mind.
Well, I never really plugged it back in. But I was just like, then I saw other people using it years later. I was like, oh, this thing's good now. Back when I was trying to get it to run a video in a hotel and I couldn't get it, I was like, that sucks.
Well, probably because you were on hotel Wi-Fi.
Well, you know what? Well, where's that streaming future? That's what I want, Andrea. Greg,
on your phone, okay? That's where it's at. You just use your LG connection. Yeah, your that LTE, I mean.
I'm still in that where I'm grandfathered into the data, and so if I go to that, I'm not anymore. I doubt
See,
I use that
I've been
much
on
data.
That unlimited data life for a long time.
But that's
time
what
now.
I have. But yeah. I can't do the tether with it. When I try to do it, it's like, it's going to change everything. I was like,
oh, wow. Well,
AT&T, I don't know.
Call them up and shake your fist at them.
I don't know if that'll help. I have to use words, then. Number two. There's a big old Anthem patch coming day one. This is from Joe Scrabbles, a made-up name at IGN.com. Because the world is strange and confusing, Anthem's day one patch will arrive a week after thousands of people began playing it. Thankfully, it should improve one of the most common complaints about the early version, its loading times. Arriving on the game's official release date of 22 February, come on, Scrabbles, you know we're going to read it in America, right? February 22nd, it was made available to EA Origin Access Premier members on the 15th. The patch is wide-ranging to say the least, but puts loading times, parentheses, and a bug that caused infinite loading screens right at the top. To gauge how big a problem that's been, the Anthem subreddit has been ablaze with posts on the subject. One post sees user Dragonoob44 timing how long it takes to exit free play to change gear and then re-enter, which results in over 7 minutes of loading.
Yikes.
It's not an out-of-the-ordinary complaint. We've yet to see how effective the fix will be, but it'll be welcome news for those just trying to play their new game. The patch will also see problems with problems with challenge tracking, disconnects, and crashes addressed, as well as having modifiers for weapons and gear reflected properly. Andrea, is this the problem you predicted with all these staggered launches and doing all these different things? You have one set of people who've been playing it for a week. They don't even have these fixes. Now we're going to get it on Friday. Is it all going to be screwed up as well?
I mean, clearly it's going to be launch issues. There is no multiplayer game in history that has launched flawlessly.
Right.
But I think with each year that goes by, you know, developers are getting smarter and smarter, but BioWare has historically had trouble with the Frostbite engine, and so it's not surprising to me that they've been experiencing some difficulties, and this is really the first time that they've had to manage a server load of this magnitude in a multiplayer-focused game. So we knew that there were going to be issues, and this was always my greatest concern about this game after having played it at several preview events, that this is where they're going to stumble is in the matchmaking and the online services department. And that's clearly what we're seeing right now. And when we talked about it on the Gamescast, you know, I said maybe the silver lining to them releasing with, you know, Origin 7 days in advance is that, hey, they're going to work out some kinks and some bugs, and maybe they can push a hot fix by the time the console release happens on the 22nd.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed, but clearly they have a long way to go. I mean, the early issues that we're seeing with Anthem echo a lot of other games that come out and it's their first outing. I mean, I think back to like Vanilla Destiny and the multitude of issues that game had. And so I'm hoping that, you know, they are able to move a little bit more nimbly than some of the other developers have in the past, just from lessons learned from their competitors. But who could say?
Boston Beer Dude writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, KFGD hosts. With the sum of the subpar reviews for Anthem coming out, I want to get your take on what could have went wrong in the development cycle for the game to come out seemingly half-baked. Also, where do you see BioWare ending up after this? Thanks for everything you guys do. Looking forward to seeing you at the World Tour Stop in NYC.
Half-baked? Really? That seems maybe an exaggeration.
I think so too, but it has been... This is another one where so many people, yourself included, right, are like, this is my most anticipated game of the year, right? And I feel like early scuttlebutt from the people who have the PC builds, right, has been like, oh, it's good. But I was reading Kaylee over at GameSpot, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm enjoying it, but I'm not invested. Like, I want to come back and do all this stuff. I'm going to. And like, even Gerstmann from Giant Bomb, right, was out there talking about like, there's some weird choices made in this game. I feel like people wanted it to come out and be a home run right away. Right. Everybody universally be like, this is awesome. We're all in. And I think that was not an unfair expectation or an unfair desire. That's what we all want when we play any video game, right? But I think you said it pretty well. We're talking about the updates and the problems, right? Of like, it's an online game. How many times do we need to see, whether it be For Honor, Rainbow Six, Destiny 2? These games launch, and once they're in the wild, Fallout 76, launch and they're in the wild, and that's when people are really like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this isn't what I thought it was. I'm enjoying this part of it, and that leads to an update that is what people want, an expansion, you know, DLC that is in line with what people want out of the experience.
It's challenging because we continually come back to this idea of early access or game preview or launching a game in like an open beta versus having a full retail launch, because maybe the game just needs some more time and maybe you need to get it out there to a wide swath of players to really help you break the game in order for you to fix what you didn't know was wrong with the game.
Sure.
But it's challenging for a major publisher like EA to undergo something like that, right? I really applaud, you know, Blizzard in hindsight for the way that they handled Overwatch in saying, hey, we're going to, you know, not just have a tentpole retail date. We're going to like do this rolling launch over several months and have the game in beta for a long time. So that way, when it does finally come to brick and mortar, it's like ready to go.
Yeah.
And I wish more publishers would take that leap of faith with their development studios and let that happen.
The Fortnite or Minecraft beta forever thing, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I've been playing it for years, but I also understand you're changing and tweaking and doing.
Right. Well, and games as services inherently are going to be better 6, 12, 18 months down the road. Yeah. I mean, even one of my current favorite games as service, Rainbow Six. So like, even though I love that game at launch, there really wasn't much in the game.
Yeah.
But you know, you're playing it now, we're entering year four. I mean, there's so much to do, and it's tough because we want, our expectations are so high and we're so pumped because it's like, oh, it's launch day, it's happening. But I think it's important to remind ourselves, like, this game a year from today is going to be probably really different than it is today.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's when we as gamers, are excited for a game as a service, right? That's what you're strapping in for. I'm strapping in for the Division 2, super stoked, and I bet, guarantee, that first weekend that I already told Jen, like, I'm not leaving the house. I'm just sitting here and eating pizza and playing this game. I'm going to have all sorts of disconnects. I'm going to have all sorts of weird bugs. My friend list won't show up correctly like it never did in Division 1. Like, all these things are going to happen, but I know that I'm signing up for that. And I also, and some people are like, oh, that, you know, not even corporate apologist, but development apologist for that, right? I just don't think there's a way to release a game. You can't, unless you're going to do a beta like Fortnite, like Minecraft. I don't know how you can do a beta for a game that isn't going to just go to everybody, right? Like, how can I do a beta if I'm not going to give it to 10 million people that somehow accounts for all the problems 10 million people are going to introduce to the world?
Right.
And that's the problem you get into and what you are. And, like, so even with Anthem, where we're like, we're streaming it on a Friday, that traditionally means it's not going to fucking work. Friday the 13th, definitely a different game. But, like, every time I was like, hey, I want to fucking stream this game with the best friends, that would be a double XP weekend and servers would be overloaded and nothing would work and it would fail and we couldn't connect. I guarantee Friday when we're sitting here about 2:30, yeah, we'll click over to Tetris 99 for sure. But 2:30, we'll be sitting here trying to stream Anthem and you and me will be in a party and we'll be trying to get Kevin in and it just won't work for some reason. We won't know why and we'll have to keep moving on.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like launch day woes. And
yeah.
I want to be clear, like, you're allowed to have specific expectations for a game that you pay for, especially that you pay full retail price for. Of course, the game shouldn't be broken. It should be playable. But I think what we're seeing right now with the early impressions of Anthem isn't that the game is like a hot garbage mess.
Yes, very much.
It's just that it has some issues that they need to work out and they need to fix and patch. And that to me is normal wear and tear for a multiplayer launch. I would say if you're out there interested in Anthem, take advantage of EA Access.
Yeah.
And just put your, you know, $5 down or what have you and try it out. And then if you decide you don't like it, then you've only lost $5.
What's going to be, I feel, interesting on launch, right? One of the things this weekend that people were complaining about online and criticizing, I guess, because it's not a complaint, it's justified. You know what I mean? Was this thing somewhere in the first 3 hours where suddenly the story gets gated, where it's like, we can't move on with the narrative unless you get this, that, and the other
thing. I saw Jeff tweeting about that. Yeah.
My thought process there was like, and I know this is very much you and me being different on how we're viewing Anthem, right? Like, I wasn't excited for Anthem's world, was kind of let it pass by. And the more people were like, no, you need to play it. It's about being Iron Man, yada, yada, yada. I was like, well, all right, cool. And then on Gamescast, you were talking about how you're excited about the story. You know, the story ruined for you. When I heard that, of like, oh, well, you got to go collect this and do that, I'm like, all right, cool. That's what, I mean, I rewatched the gif of the guy jumping up, turning into Iron Man and flying away. And I'm like, I just want to do that for 5 hours, so that's cool.
And obviously, I need to see exactly what he's referring to. I read his whole thread hoping somebody would actually lay it out, and maybe I just need to go into the subreddit to actually find like the spoiler part and figure out what it is. But I'm just like, it sounds like almost any RPG I've ever played. Like, there's a lot of stories, even in Odyssey, when I was playing in Assassin's Creed, there's a point in the story where it got gated, where it was like, okay, the next major story mission is like X amount of levels above where I'm at right now. Yeah. So it's like, well, I clearly can't just go jump in there or I'm going to get crushed. Yeah. So I have to go do all of these side missions. I feel like that concept in gaming is not new.
When I was talking to Fran, or Franthem as we call him now, at the kind of funny meet and greet, I asked him about it and he's like, oh, well, it's like, he put it into words I would understand, where he's like, it'd be like in The Division if they were like, all right, before you can go on this other thing, I need you to go get this many echoes and get this many tape recorders and do, and I was like, oh, okay. I'd do that. Yeah, that's why I play the game. Sure.
Yeah, it's like, cool. So I get to play the game that I'm playing. Okay. But like, I don't want to be reductive of the way that people are upset about it.
Oh, sure. No.
I would need to see it for myself to understand just how egregious it is.
Agreed. It is just because you said egregious and then I wanted to add that in for a second. Number 3, Crackdown 3 is the most played premium title on Xbox One last week. This is from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. And it's more of just a follow-up on yesterday's lead story about how Game Pass, man, that's a pretty successful thing for developers. While its physical launch sales were somewhat disappointing, certainly, if the UK figures are anything to go by, there is data to suggest Crackdown has still been a hit on Xbox One. True Achievements has released its latest weekly chart of the platform's most played games, which shows Crackdown 3 was the third most popular title of the week. It was only surpassed by Apex Legends and Fortnite in terms of the number of Xbox users that played it, and both of those are free-to-play titles. Interestingly, it's the single-player campaign specifically that reached number 3 in the charts. The multiplayer and technically ambitious Wrecking Zone mode placed much lower at number 22. True Achievements Chart is calculated by scanning Xbox user accounts, a sample of more than 500,000 from around the world, for which games they have played in the previous week, running Monday to Sunday. It's worth emphasizing that these are games actively played, not just ones where achievements have been unlocked. 1 in 10 of these users played Crackdown 3 last week, more than double the number that played Red Dead Redemption 2 in the same period. To further demonstrate the popularity of the single-player campaign, less than a third of the Xbox owners that played Crackdown 3 indulged in Wrecking Zone. Andrea Renee, that Game Pass once again. We talked about it yesterday, right? Just being there, you get a people who would never buy Crackdown, or at least wouldn't be inclined unless the reviews were amazing, are still going to jump in and try it through that.
Absolutely. We knew that when Microsoft announced Xbox Game Pass, that Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, and Crackdown 3 were all going to be the ones to benefit from it. And that it's really going to take until we get a major AAA title like Gears 5 or Halo Infinite to see like where like the crossover would be between people who would only buy at retail and people who are playing on Game Pass. But I think it's great. I think it's awesome that there are more people that are able to play Crackdown 3 because it's part of this Game Pass subscription. I think that was the whole reason Xbox launched the subscription service in the first place.
Yeah, Crackdown 3 and the Game Pass conundrum, or at least equation here, is going to be interesting to look back on as we continue to go forward. Because there was this conversation, I think last week or maybe even yesterday, but when Crackdown reviews were popping about, okay, the reviews aren't great, why would Microsoft do this? And it was this whole thing, well, they were committed to it earlier, it was this thing, it was their vision of, you know, the cloud originally. But then also they have Game Pass, and you can put something on Game Pass, and I feel... bad reviews for Crackdown, or mediocre reviews, I shouldn't even say bad, mediocre reviews for Crackdown, right, dampen the excitement of like, oh man, whatever. But then if you turn on your Game Pass and you see it there, like, oh, I'll try it, your expectations now I feel are lower than Game Pass, even where you jump in like, you know what, this was fun to go get orbs. I saw Steimer tweeting about it and Jackie tweeting about it. This was fun to run around and get orbs and smash stuff up and just waste a weekend having fun and playing a blockbuster movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an added value for anybody who has the subscription, even if they have never played Crackdown before and they're like, oh, it's here, it's new, why don't I try it? It's an Xbox exclusive, and yeah, there's just not enough of those these days.
That's true, Andrew Winnie, that's true. Number 4 on the Roper Report, PUBG and Resident Evil 2 are crossing over. Here's the official press release. Tencent Games and PUBG Corporation announced today the launch of a new gameplay mode called Zombie Survive Till Dawn, a crossover collaboration between PUBG Mobile and Resident Evil 2. In late 2018, PUBG Mobile announced the cross-branding partnership with Capcom's game Resident Evil 2 at the PUBG Mobile Star Challenge 2018 Global Finals. The gameplay will feature 3 days and 2 nights in one 30-minute round. That features 60 players within the usual PUBG Mobile game structure. Players will encounter multiple types of zombies from the Resident Evil series, such as police, liquor, and G1, as well as other zombies created by the PUBG Mobile team. As Survive Till Dawn turns from day through dusk and into nighttime, the zombies become considerably more aggressive and will pose a significant challenge for PUBG Mobile players. During the day, players can defeat zombies from long range and conduct farming. Dusk preps the players for fighting as zombies become more dangerous and visibility drops. Nighttime sees the zombies become enraged, and players will have limited PvP engagements due to the very low visibility. The legendary Resident Evil 2 characters, G, Stage 1, and Tyrant will also appear through just shaking your head in disgust.
I hate that guy.
Through, oh my god, Mr. X, get out of here. Through a random spawning during the nighttime. Also, players can win Leon and Claire skin sets and Ada and Marvin costumes in-game, which are all popular characters in Resident Evil 2. Well, thank you, press release, for explaining that.
I guess Brittany's going to have to start playing PUBG Mobile.
Right? That's a really cool crossover. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and it is. It's disappointing they're limiting it to mobile.
100% like, my thoughts, too. And I know people love PUBG Mobile. I know people actually do play it and I think it's a good version of the game. But yeah, I would love to boot up the PlayStation 4 and have all this stuff there. I feel it'd be a really good gateway to get me back into PUBG on a console.
Yeah, I feel like if PUBG is going to do this crossover, why not implement it wherever you can play PUBG?
Yeah.
This clearly must be something that the mobile team is trying to push more installs for mobile specifically. And sure, I think that's really smart because Resident Evil 2 is riding a critical high right now. There's tons of people out there still talking about it and how great it was. And like you said, it's a great way to get people back into PUBG because I'm sure they are now getting a smaller and smaller piece of the Battle Royale pie as each new Battle Royale option comes out. I mean, Tetris 99 is just eating their lunch right now.
It's rare that you see one of the greatest games of all time come back and become the greatest battle royale game of all time as well. But here we are. Here we are.
Nailed it.
It really is Apex Legends. But I agree that this is a cool opportunity for people to maybe try out the mobile version of PUBG if they haven't before.
Yeah, and I think that's really, like you said, it's a great activation. It actually probably will get me to download and be like, all right, let's see what this is all about.
Oh, no, Brittany's definitely going to try this because she's that obsessed with Resident Evil.
Yeah, that's true. She's a weirdo.
She's a weirdo.
I have breaking news from Nick and You're Wrong.
Oh, no.
Earlier in this show, I called, I believe, Andrew Goldfarb a twerp or a pencil neck from IGN, right? He was so embarrassed that he just tweeted, this feels weird to say again, but next week is my last week at IGN. I met some of my best friends here and produced some work I'm incredibly proud of. I owe this place a lot, and it's hard to say goodbye, but I'm very excited for what's next. I'll have more to say soon.
Wow.
So that's how fast it can happen on Kinda Funny Games Daily, that I can insult you and force you to quit your job. So just a heads up on the power Greg has. And you said end of an era. I'll point out it's end of an era again.
Second
and
time. I wasn't going to say
once,
it, Greg.
Shame on me. No, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't believe it. I don't believe he'll be back in 3 years. Don't trust it. Don't believe it, everybody. But no, go on Twitter to Garfep. That's Greg. Garfep is his username, right? We used to always say on Beyond, it's hard to remember. So here's a little way to remember all the first letters, right? Greg always regrets fucking elderly people. Garfep on Twitter.
Wow.
So you can go there.
That's
and you,
aggressive.
You can say goodbye to him. You know what? In Podcast Beyond, it used to be a crazy show. Now you got Dornbush in there. Another pencil neck geek. Let's see if he quits. Huh? Who else can I chase off? Hey,
oh
Pear.
Oh, my gosh.
Eh, you know what I mean? And then finally, Goldfarb, not a sad story. Number 5 on the Roper Report, a very sad story. It's time to finally say goodbye to the PlayStation Vita. No. This is Sal Romano over at Gamatsu. PS Vita will soon end production in Japan, according to the official Japanese PlayStation website. The pages for the PlayStation Vita Black and the PlayStation Vita Aqua Blue SKUs, which are the only two remaining PlayStation Vita models in production in Japan, mention that, quote, shipments are scheduled to end soon, end quote. Sony Interactive Entertainment, which manufactures PlayStation Vita, had previously confirmed that production of the handheld will end in 2019. While a specific end date is currently unknown, it is worth noting that when PlayStation 3 ended production back in May 2017, the official Japanese PlayStation website posted the same notice 2 months prior. PlayStation Vita launched in December 2011. So sad. That's in Japan, by the way. It was, you know, spring, February 2017.
Yeah, it's been done here for a while.
Oh, no, that's not true. It lived everywhere. It lived on in hearts, you know what I mean, in minds. A lot of games are still coming out for a lot of easy platinums, you know what I mean? That's what it's for. A lot of visual novels. Andrea, can I interest you in a couple dozen visual novels? Because since you last turned on your Vita, let me just tell you, they're there.
I'm actually going to be giving away my Vita at our PAX East panel.
Whoa!
Yes. If you want a chance to win Andrea Renee's Vita, come to the What's Good Games panel on Thursday, March 28th at 6:30 p.m. in the Bobcat Theater.
Is it because of this? Is this news broke you? You're like, well, it's done.
Yeah.
No more Freedom Wars 2.
I have to send it to a good home.
Okay. Spencer Marie, who I met and you probably met too, at the Kinda Funny SF World Tour Meetup, writes in and says, so Gamatsu is reporting that the final days of the PlayStation Vita production are coming to a close. There are only 2 SKUs left and an ominous warning that shipments are scheduled to end. As someone who has been such a vocal fan of the platform, what are your closing thoughts on the end of this era? Thank you, Spencer Marie.
I think it signifies a major shift in where handheld production is.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's done. It's over.
Nintendo,
because you know
Switch
why?
Argues differently.
It's on your phone now.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it is.
The Vita didn't fail because of phones. The Vita
I'm not
failed.
Saying the Vita. Do you think the Vita failed?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
failed?
Yeah.
No. Did it meet expectations?
No.
But it didn't
so
fail.
By not meeting expectations, I say it failed. I love the PlayStation Vita. Clearly, the question was directed at me on how what I thought.
Of course.
You were supposed to ride the bench on this one, but here you are.
I wanted to get one word
yacking
in
it up
before
over
you
there,
go on
you know
a
what
rant.
I mean?
All right, go ahead, Greg. The floor is yours.
PlayStation Vita, an amazing device, an amazing piece of technology. So awesome that Sony had the balls on them to make another handheld. Like, you know what? PSP, we didn't knock out of the park, but we still think we can do it. We still think we can do it based on just gumption and the idea that you'll make games for it even if we don't. PlayStation Vita got a raw deal, of course. You know what I mean? I still stand by the fact it's a handheld between two PlayStations. It's the hubris of the PlayStation 3 with the $599. It is the brilliance of the PlayStation 4. Hey, we fucked up. This thing's just a fancy PC. Everybody give us your games, right? If it would have just been a if it would have been the sexy OLED screen it was with the dual sticks, no touch, no 3G version, nothing crazy. Just, hey, it's a games machine. If the people who made PlayStation 4 would have been like able to get in there and be like, it's just a games machine. Sell it as a games machine. Let's make great games for it.
They needed Mark Cerny earlier.
They did need Mark. I mean, didn't we all? You know what I mean? Didn't we all? We could have, and that's the thing too. Knack on Vita, different story. Knack on Vita would have been a great Knack game. You know what I mean? They right there, you would have been all over it. The Vita was awesome, and it's sad to see it go. I mean, it's definitely time. I've said goodbye to the Vita a long time ago. And I feel like I've said goodbye to the Vita on many different shows. Because I keep saying goodbye to it, but it keeps resurging in some way.
So are you really saying goodbye?
No, then? We're still going to talk about Vitas. I know for a fact people are still putting out Vita games. They're still going to be easy platinums on Vita. It's not going anywhere. The Vita has been on life support and will continue to be on life support. Even right now, as they are sterilizing mommy and daddy Vita, the Vita children that are in the wild will continue to thrive. You know what I mean? They just can't reproduce. That's what it's all about. You understand this analogy?
I mean, it's not exactly sound, but we'll let that go.
Thank you. Kebabs writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I'm sure many others have written in about the Vita and how it's officially on its way out. What are your guys' favorite games for the system? My pick is an odd one. The Ratchet & Clank Collection. While functionally identical to the bug-ridden PS3 version and running at half the Vita's resolution, the simple fact that I had three of my favorite PS2 games running off of one cart available whenever I wanted with practically no compromises was insane. If I had to pick one exclusive title, that'd have to be Wipeout 2048. Still the best anti-grav racer out there. And the menus utilizing the touchscreen was the closest I felt to being in the future. Andrea, what Vita game stands out for you as your favorite?
Something that I vividly remember playing on Vita was Thomas Was Alone. I really enjoyed that game, and I know it's obviously on other platforms now, as most Vita titles are, but I really enjoyed that. I also really liked Fat Princess.
Oh, yeah. Like, Fat Princess Adventures, that was a good one.
So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Uncharted Golden Abyss was really nice.
Yeah.
Like that. The Killzone title for Vita, yep. Whose subtitle name I'm forgetting was the good
Euro. Mercenary.
There, was that it?
Yeah, okay. Right, wasn't it?
Well,
Kevin, give me a Google search on Killzone Mercenary.
You're wrong it if you guys are quick on the draw.
Kevin's right.
Oh, and Lord of Pwns is Mark Cerny was actually the lead architect of the PSV.
Killzone Liberation?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Killzone Mercenary. I was right.
Yeah,
okay,
you
cool.
Were right.
Yeah, okay, good. Still got it, guys. Still got it when it comes to Vita. Don't worry about it. And then also Google Mark Cerny, lead architect of the PlayStation Vita. I don't trust this Lord of Pwns correction. And if it is, then we needed the Mark Cerny of the PlayStation 4 generation, not the Mark Cerny of the PlayStation Vita generation. That's all it comes down to.
True.
For me, obviously, you have to start with Persona 4 Golden, the best game that came to the PlayStation Vita, period. An amazing RPG. I mean, that is the one that gave the Vita definitely a second breath of life. With the amount of people that bought Vitas for Persona 4 Golden, let alone the amount of people who continue to buy PlayStation Vitas for Persona. I just on Reset Era was in a thread talking about it. And yeah, a whole bunch of people want Vitas just to play Persona 4 Golden. Okay. In 2013, Mark Cerny was revealed to have been the lead architect of the PlayStation Vita. Yeah. Hmm. Somebody should have told him. No 3G, no touch. No back touch for sure. Nobody needs any of that.
R2L2 would have been cool too. R2L2,
exactly. Let's get rid of all that and just put R2L2 in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we could time travel, like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things I'd go back and change. A lot of natural disasters. A lot of unnatural disasters. A lot of disasters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd change a lot of disasters in general. Not natural, I guess. I can't really be like,
but you'd warn people.
The winds are coming. Yeah, that seems like there's too many of those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like...
happening right now?
We're talking about the priority list of time travel, all right?
If you can befriend, like, a TV anchor and be like, hey, look, here's going to be the first one.
But nobody listens to... They'd call him a crackpot until it happened. You know what I mean?
What
I see what you're saying. I got to tell him the first
one. I got 7 more. You got to pay for the rest.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. But yeah, I would go back and change the Vita that way. Persona 4 Golden, you have to say, you have to put at the top of the list. Me personally, the next one I would put out there, of course, is Freedom Wars. Freedom Wars, fantastic game. Underplayed. The grind at the end's way too crazy and hard. I would have loved to have platinum it, Andrea. But I got to grind the same boss over and over and over and over and over again, hope they drop this silver shard or whatever. No, I got time for that. But the journey to it, so much fun. Some of my favorite PlayStation Vita memories. Fantastic game. Rest in peace. Andrea?
Yes, Greg?
I'm excited to see if anybody in the video game industry is crazy enough to make another handheld in this day and age. But we won't know for a long, long time. Maybe until Google takes the stage.
They're going to announce their new handheld. Who knows?
If I wanted something more imminent, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Strap in. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Out today. Today, Treyarch and Activision announced that there's a new season of content for Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beginning right now, called Operation Grand Heist. This season features updates across the entire game, including a new specialist, new outfits and personalization items, new Blackout map additions, vehicles and game modes, and much more. Then for games, almost there. The platformer comes to Xbox One and PS4. Sinner Sacrifice for Redemption comes to PC. Steins Gate Elite comes to PC, PS4, and Switch. Death End Request, but there's a semicolon in there, you can guess where it is, comes to PlayStation 4. Yakuza Kiwami comes to PC. Unexplored Unlocked Edition comes to PlayStation 4. Pwned comes to PlayStation 4. Hacky Zack comes to PlayStation 4. And I swear to God, if I ever have to say Hacky Zack on this show again, stop peppering them out. Just put them all out at once. Every week, I feel like I'm saying Hacky Zack. We argue about this one. I guess it's like Jim, so it's Rim 9000 PS4. Castle Break PC. Blaze Rush on Switch. And then Fork Parker's Crunch Out comes to Super Nintendo. I'll give you a little bit of feedback on this one. Fort Parker's Crunch-Out is a collaboration between Mega Cat Studios, Devolver Digital, and Take This for the label's first-ever Super Nintendo Entertainment System game. Devolver Digital is donating 100% of their profits from sales to Take This to support their ongoing efforts to raise awareness and combat mental health issues. Very cool. I think they had it was 1,000 copies. They did 500 for pre-order, so there's 500 just available now to buy. Then new dates for you. Strap in. Mo Novel, the publisher of visual novel HD titles, is proud to announce that If My Heart Had Wings Flight Diary, a bonus story for the highly popular If My Heart Had Wings, is coming to Steam on February 27th. Super Chrome Bullet Purgatory is coming to Steam Early Access, PC, and Mac on March 19th. This is via Polygon. Yacht Club Games announced that it has delayed the platformer Shovel Knight, King of Cards, multiplayer fighting game Shovel Knight Showdown, and the physical release of Shovel Knight Treasure Trove Collection by several months. Why? Quote, it remains our focus to bring these to the highest level of quality, just as we have with previous Shovel Knight games, the team wrote in a blog post. It's also our priority to have these games on the disc/card for the upcoming physical version. We need a little more time to make this happen, and so we are pushing the release back one last time. The remainder of the Shovel Knight saga initially was set to launch on April 9th. Yacht Club hasn't announced a new date yet and won't until we know one for sure from all parties, partners involved. Great work. Good job. You know, Shovel Knight is like on such a pedestal as like the indie success story and all the stuff. They, I'm sure, have the money to wait and burn and go ahead and make it perfect. You don't want to burn your, you know, fan base, right?
No. Why would you?
Make that cold, hard cash and get out. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
Me too.
Vambrance Cold Soul, the roguelike fantasy adventure, focuses on a rich storytelling and deep strategy, will come to PC and Mac on 25th of April with Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One following in Q3 2019. And Dying Light just turned 4. Released in 2015, the game has seen a total of nearly 16 million unique players. The anniversary will be celebrated with an in-game event that allows players to score double XP points. Additionally, unique and previously unavailable legacy items, such as Rocket League Buggy Skin, will be given away.
You skipped one.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, because look, I already did the top one. It was just a double.
Oh, we doubled up. God. So okay. I added one to new dates that came in after you already printed your things. Ubisoft has announced Special Operation 4, the fourth and final update of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, second year of post-launch content. Special Operation 4 will release as a free update across all platforms on February 27th and will introduce a brand new PvE mode, new content for PvP players, community requested features, and more.
Ooh, look at that still kicking. That's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did not expect Ghost Recon to have the legs that it did, because I thought everyone was either playing Rainbow Six or For Honor.
Yeah, but then look at still kicking. Still Ubisoft going. Games, man. You just plant them and walk away and then turn back 17 million
and it's
thousand
a jungle.
Players. Deals of the day. This one comes from David Rainey, who tweeted me out of the blue. Deals of the day. Red Dead Redemption 2 is $40 on Deals with Gold, and Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 is $10 on the Xbox Store.
That is a steal for Red Dead Redemption.
Thank you.
Normally, Rockstar games never go on sale.
Is it a steal, though?
For Red Dead Redemption 2?
You know, I mean, people were complaining about 7-minute load times. Remember riding your horse for 15 minutes to get to the next mission?
Damn. Kevin with a hard taker. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you finish the game?
No.
Me neither, man.
I did. Both of those freaking epilogues. Done.
And we're super proud of you, kind of.
No, you're not.
I'm proud of her finishing it. It's just, I don't, it's not,
I just don't like that you felt like you had to, you know what I mean, man?
I don't like that either. But that's why Andrea's a professional.
Yeah. Yep,
well, you know, someone here has to be.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And that's my thing, is I appreciate
fuck you,
that.
Jared.
Exactly. I say, fuck you, Jared. That's where I was driving. Andrea finished it, still has a head on her shoulders, be like, it's not that great. Jared Petty, you know what I mean? Liked it so much.
He's still playing it.
I don't know. I don't know what he plays anymore. He's dead to me. Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, Robinhood and Third Love. Let's talk about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 Most Popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Kinda Funny Games Daily a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. Then it's Third Love. Let's talk about bras. Using millions of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and incredible feel. Why is Third Love so good? The Fit Finder Quiz. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken the Fit Finder Quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for the perfect fit and premium feel. You answer a few simple questions and find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's actually fun, and it takes less than a minute to complete. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. But don't take my word for it. Take my wife's. She ordered from Third Love and loves the bra. She told me, quote, it doesn't feel cheap like most bras. It's mostly meant to be worn strapless, but it still came with two sets of straps. Two sets of straps, people. Be like Jen. Third Love knows there is a perfect bra for everybody. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today.
Greg, may I address two quick things before we get into reader mail?
Andrew, you may do whatever you want.
First, at Nick Baby Leham tweeted to me and says, possible late addition to deals of the day. And I'm adding it because I think it's really awesome. So from our friend at Wario64, he has tweeted that 24 months of Xbox Game Pass are free to veterans and active duty military, which is a fantastic offer and a big thank you to our men and women who serve the United States. So if you are active duty military or a veteran and you want to take advantage of this offer, Wario has the link for you. So that's at Wario64 on Twitter. You can click on that and get your free 24 months of Game Pass. What?
I just can't do it. Please go to your next one. You said you had two, right?
Yes.
Okay, just go, please.
The second one is, I think you lost a bet to me that we should acknowledge here on the show in front of everybody watching.
Not until you pay Tim. Where's our pizza?
I can't pay Tim until I go to the winery because the shipment includes specific bottles of wine that I can only pick up at the winery, and I'm going in a couple weeks. I said I was going to buy Gia the wine. Now calm down.
Calm down.
I moved on to Mikey's Pizza. Where is it?
I don't even know who Mikey is.
So Greg and I had a bet.
Yeah, that's right.
That Anthem would not slip from its release date. And right. I was confident that it would not. And you were like, nah, it's definitely going to slip.
Now here's my thing. I definitely lost this bet. I'm not arguing that anyway. Was it a thing where I was like, no way? Or was it like, I was like, oh, I think I might, I could see it slipping. I think that's what I said. I just want to say that wasn't like Persona 5.
I thought you took the bet as a devil's advocate kind of thing where you were like, oh, well, I'll do it.
Either way, the bet was a pizza party.
I bet an enterprising best friend out there would find the clip for us. Oh, and yeah, that way totally. We could figure out for sure exactly what your feelings were. If you were like, nah, it's definitely going to slip. Or if you were like, it might slip, but I'll take a pizza party bet.
Sure.
Because technically you win that bet too.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, I'm aware. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know. I know. So the question, yeah, Andrew, becomes when do you want your pizza party? You are here Thursday all day. However, if you're coming, I don't know if you are you playing Anthem here? What was the decision on that?
I think that's a, we're going to call an audible on that.
Okay, cool.
I think we want to maybe see how the midnight launch goes.
Okay, fair.
Server sure. rollout.
So then you can either cash in on Thursday for your pizza day, or we got to have Pizza Party Anthem Day.
Okay.
And here's my thing. If Pizza Party Anthem Day gets called off because of bad servers, obviously we can do another Pizza Party Anthem Day.
Right.
Or maybe even the Superior Pizza Party Division Day, which is also planned for Division Day launch. You get to call the ball.
I have a feeling Tim's going to lose the other bet that I made with him for pizza.
What was the other bet?
It was about Nintendo hitting their sales goals.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fucking
because I was like, there's no way they're going to sell that many. And I think they've already come up to say,
they already lowered
short.
Their double forecast. I think that's already money.
Double pizza day.
Now, what I want to point out, is just because we're off the rails, who cares? What I was laughing about is when I look over there and Kevin is over there licking his hand and then dropping the twang salt. Have you seen, you know, these twang salts that we got going around the office?
Yeah. I like the dill one.
Yeah. Well, do you like eating them just plain? Because Andy just drinks them out of the bottle and he's over there just licking his hand, doing it over and over again.
It's odd. I don't.
You kids are going to become kidney stones.
I got John a salt set for Christmas because he also likes eating salt out of the jar.
Good Lord, people.
He gets it.
You're all going to have blood pressure. You know what I mean?
Oh, you have blood pressure right now.
But I don't have. God damn it, Andy! Don't come in doing it. I'm looking out for your health.
He's literally shaking the little salt thing into his mouth.
If you guys fuck up the health plan, my insurance sucks more. Like, come on. I at least had the good.
You have to come all the way on camera and show it to them.
I was at
also,
least.
It looks like a
I was a team player. I got cancer at IGN, not to fuck up this health plan. You know what I mean?
So just a little bit comes out. Just a.
You well, what you should do?
But
is,
when you're just doing it all day long. That's what you.
It's good for you.
But this is the one you keep at your desk, right? You don't put that back in. The cupboard, right?
No,
this is the community. This is the community one. Everybody shares it.
God, it's not right. It's not right.
It gets rocky on top, and so you get the little crunches. You get the little boulders.
Yeah. I don't fuck with that. That's why I use my hand.
It's because of your spit.
Back to the games. This was supposed to be a serious show when we started it. Remember, everybody? God damn. Somebody on Root Street's watched it the first time. They're like, no wonder Bernie hates these guys. The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, yesterday, Greg talked about the new update for Rainbow Six Siege Operation Burnt Horizon and praised it and other Ubisoft games for being successes and maintained well after their release. However, you didn't talk about some of the ways the Rainbow Six team are keeping the game fresh, including new features and much-needed changes. When talking about these long-living games as a service, shouldn't you, as podcasters/games journalists, talk about these major new features when a new major patch, DLC, season is announced? I'm a big fan of Siege and want the people to know that Ubisoft and the Rainbow Six teams are improving the game besides just adding new maps and operators, parentheses, and may even bring back old players, knowing fixes for long-standing issues are on the way, end quote. I truly appreciate all you do, the nanobiologist. And then he goes, P.S., the unmentioned features were fixing crouch and lean spamming, which originally made the game head body shots impossible, fixing toxic team killing by reflecting, and he goes on and on and on like this.
Team killing.
I understand what you're saying.
Team killing is a huge problem in Rainbow Six.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, I did kill Andy in our party. No, I understand 100% what you're saying, nanobiologist, and I think what you're bringing up is great information, but it's what you have to wrestle with when we're a general news show. I think when you're talking about drilling into how, with all due respect, how the fuck would I know as somebody who only plays in party mode here and there that like crouch and lean spamming was a problem?
Well, we don't have the time, nor should we be getting into the details of every single note in the patch notes that comes out for these games. You know, we try to just hit the highlights.
The way I think of it when I plan the show, and I know Andrea plans it a lot too, is that, oh, cool, there's this, and if you remember correctly too, Rainbow Six not being one of my games, you not being on the show, there was when Destiny had done something similar, not a major update, but something similar, maybe it's Paragon, I didn't put it in the thing. And then people wrote in like, hey, it was weird that you didn't do that. And so we made the switch there of, okay, cool, I'll put the stuff in there. But for me, it's very much like, here's the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to give you the top level. There's new operators and there's a new map and there's more stuff. So if you want to know the rest, if you are a Rainbow Six person driving your UPS truck right now, listening to us while you work, you know to go check in and see what the rest of that is.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I can only offer, outside of the news that we're reading, the personal anecdotes and what I play and how I know stuff. And not having feet in that game, I would never be able to tell you that, oh, this is a big deal that they changed this.
Well, and it also depends on what else is happening in the news that day. I mean, we as, you know, producers of the show have to use our best judgment to say what does and does not make the cut. And so sometimes it makes the cut and sometimes it doesn't.
Final question of the day comes from Nick in SoCal, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what's good, servants of Portillo and Ghost? Something I've noticed about most video games is that the romantic interest or interests of the protagonist seems to always be female, regardless of the protagonist's gender. There seems to be a giant taboo against dating men other than in visual novels, a genre that the Greg Millers of the world won't play because the gameplay, in quotes, is mostly, in quotes, press X to read the next line of dialogue. End parentheses. I've played a visual novel, sir.
Reading, no thank you.
Why are all the straight characters I play as male, and why are all the gay characters I play as female? The discussion on why this double standard exists could be an entire podcast. For the moment, I offer you the opportunity to prove the only problem is my narrow as fuck game radar. Are there any video games where the protagonist does have a husbando outside the player's agency? So not a choice in terms of, I'm playing as Alexios, mm-hmm. I can have sex with this man. He's talking about a narrative decision where you are playing as a gay man.
I think like Soldier 76 is the first thing that comes to mind for me, but sure. He isn't a protagonist in the true
in the traditional sense
of the word, because there's a whole cast of protagonists in that game, and there's not really a narrative focus. It's, I mean, all the narrative stuff in Overwatch is obviously like outside the main game.
Yeah.
But that was just the first thing that came to mind. But I mean, outside of player agency, nothing is striking me immediately.
Yeah, and that was the thing for me too. Reading the question, I was like, oh, well, Dream Dead. Oh, visual novels. Right. Mm. Outside of visual novels, outside of player agency, which is limited pool, but it's correct, I guess. And that, so here, I want to turn it on its head, and I don't have, we're out here without a parachute. I'm just working. What are the games without player agency that I turn on and I am a lesbian, or I'm a gay woman? Do you, are, because I mean,
Last of Us Part 2.
Sure.
Last of Us.
Yeah, sure. That's
right.
Fair.
But I
That's
mean,
fair.
We didn't really realize that about her until the DLC came out.
Sure.
Right?
Because when I was reading the question, I was like, oh shit, yeah, like Chloe or Max or from
Life
is Strange.
Life is Strange.
And then I was like, oh, Clementine, Walking Dead. Oh, and I was like, wait, no, these are all player agency.
Right.
This is me making those choices to do that in the same way, I guess, like, in the same way Alexios is, but even then, now I'm just down to one person. Outside of that, what man have I played as where I can choose narratively to be gay and make that canon?
Commander Shepard, but that's all.
Great point.
But that's all agency.
Yeah,
again,
no,
right?
I know. That's what I was leaning back to. Yeah.
If you can think of one, this is a great opportunity for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think what Nick's point now is that there's clearly a very, very small sliver of them that exist in the world.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more representation within the LGBTQ community happening in video games, but it clearly has a long way to go for it to be anywhere close to representative of the actual community that exists in the world.
100%.
And I think that there's some developers doing exciting things, but right now it seems that games with agency are where we're beginning. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's good to give people agency. I think it allows people to kind of choose the experience that they want to have, whether it's a homosexual or heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting question and it's an interesting topic. And I do think it definitely plays into one of my blind spots, right, as a straight white male, right? And I come on these shows and I talk about representation. I do, you know, talk about it, but I haven't been playing a game where I start a game and I'm immediately paired up. I'm playing as a male character. I have a girlfriend and we're off, or a wife or whatever, and we're off to the races. And I'm like, oh, why isn't that a man? Why, you know what I mean? Or why am I not? And then it does raise a question of, I guess I can't think of it. But it's also the thing that we're on the spot and we're just doing it all right now. I'm just trying to think of the games I start where I already have, I guess, like Uncharted, you developed a relationship, right, with Elena and everything else, but you were, Nate is straight, right? That is something that's made. It's an interesting question, interesting topic. But he's talking about, right, even taking out player choice, right? Protagonist always seems to be female. Notice, it seems to be a giant taboo, you know, like, other than visual novels. I mean, he's right, right? Like, he's talking, because even where it is player agency, I do still feel like if I'm getting the choice to be gay, most of the time I am playing as a female. It's an interesting argument. I mean, not argument, it's an interesting
statement. Well, there's a, yeah, there's a, like he said, it could be an entire podcast. I mean, there's a whole school of thought about like the voyeur and the voyeur when it comes to movies and television and how that could translate into video games and how there's like a very different voyeur perspective when it comes to female and female relationships versus male and male relationships.
Of course.
And like there could be a whole dissertation on this.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. And you wonder then, is it though? Because I understand what you're saying and what you're driving at, right? I feel like to the mainstream, and this is not fair, but two women in a relationship is more palatable, right, than two men in a relationship. If I'm playing at or I'm being, quote unquote, forced into that, right? If that's what the story is. And so is it the idea of pushing the ball forward, you know, further and further down the field by showing female-female relationships? Does that open up and help break down the idea that, no, being gay is okay, and so we can finally start bringing up more male and male relationships and not have it be a fucking huge deal? I don't know. I don't have the answers for that. Like you said, and like he says it's a whole podcast. It's a whole dissertation. It's a whole topic of discussion. But yeah, it's really fucking interesting. It's a really, really fucking interesting idea. Brian in You're Wrong says, does Ballad of Gay Tony fit here? No, because, correct me if I'm wrong, the protagonist in that wasn't gay. It was Tony was gay, right? He was the guy we were working for or whatever. It's been a long time since I played that. I digress. This is an interesting topic conversation I like to keep having. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Go ahead and be a part of the conversation. Kick us up stuff there. If you're thinking of examples we're missing or on one side or the other, go ahead and tweet them at me too. It's not just behind a paywall. Time to squad up. This is where people on Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames submit their name, username, platform of choice, and why they need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find them, and everybody has a good time together. Today, Logan needs help on PlayStation 4. Logan's PSN is EXP Logan 42. EXP Logan 42. Logan says, hey KFGD crew, I'm looking for some best friends to join me in the Division 1 on PS4. I just picked it up because it looks like Anthem will be disappointing, and it's a good warm up for Division 2. I also play Fortnite, Apex Legends, and Titanfall 2. I'm in New Zealand, so time zones will be a hassle, but usually means I'll be up late for those in the US. Thank you for the amazing content between everything Kind of Funny and What's Good Games. My work days just fly by. So if you want to play The Division with Logan, or get ready for The Division 2, EXP Logan 42. Andrea.
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Lord of Pwn says, Mo is pronounced Moe in Mo novel. If they wanted me to say Moe or Mo, yeah, Moe, they should have spelled it Moe instead of Mo novel.
Get him.
I'm not gonna bend for them.
Don't do it.
I'm not gonna do it. Blanket483 says the free Game Pass for active military veterans is no longer available. Wario sent the tweet last night.
So I did a little digging on this as well, and it looks like people are tweeting that they still have a 12 months of Xbox Live Gold for free that's available. Okay. As of 7 p.m. last night. So I haven't seen that be sold out yet, but so worth a check. Because apparently that was a paid offer that they were then giving veterans a code to redeem for free.
Okay.
And then the paid offer ran out.
I don't. This is not a you're wrong. It's a new dated thing, and I can't trust you anymore. And somebody else says Gone Home. That's a good reference in terms of there's no agency involved there. That's a story you're telling me. So yeah, good one.
But
I was saying, I did ask. Outside of playing as a, outside of being narratively cast as a gay man, when are you narratively cast as a gay woman where there is no agency to it? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it live. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames or RoosterTeeth.com. As of today, there will be lots of problems and mistaken uploads and problems. I know one pre-show got uploaded already. One video got uploaded just as an MP3. We're working on it. We're a bunch of morons. And you can listen to the show as an MP3 on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, it'll be me and Gary Witta. Thursday, it'll be me and Andrea. Friday, it'll be me and Tim. Until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.